Welcome to the Noise Pop Podcast, South by Southwest edition. I'm your host, Adrian Spinelli, coming to you from San Francisco, California. In the middle of March, I made my way to Austin, Texas for another year of the South by Southwest Festival, where a very large portion of the music industry arrives for a conference and what I consider to be the most important yearly showcase for emerging artists. And I was out there covering for Pace Magazine once again and putting together our fourth annual South by Southwest podcast episode of music and conversations with some of our standout acts from the festival. And we've been really lucky to always speak to top-notch artists out there in years past, like Lapsley, Hopalong, Soccer Mommy, Krungbin, Neff the Pharaoh, San Fermin, so many others. Definitely dig into our episode archive to hear the episodes from years past. And this year was no different. I had the opportunity to talk with Katie Alice Greer from Priests, a DC rock band making some of the most vital music out there right now. I also talked with Zach Saginaw, who's the mind behind Shigeto, one of the early jazz drumming and electronic fusionists that we've played many a times on the show. And as is tradition, we also spoke with a Bay Area artist at South By. This year, it was Myrna's Carly Bond, who we highlighted a few months ago for putting out one of our favorite Bay Area albums of 2018. You'll hear music and on-the-ground conversations I had with each of these artists in Austin, as well as a couple tracks from my two favorite discoveries at South By this year. So lock in as the Noise Pop Podcast takes you to the 2019 South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas. Our first segment is with Katie Alice Greer from the Washington, D.C. band Priests. Their sophomore record, The Seduction of Kansas, is due out April 5th on their own Sister Polygon label. You can call them post-punk, you can call them rock, whatever. This is a band making important music that's incredibly aware of what we're experiencing culturally and politically in this country right now. Greer's as compelling of a front person as you'll hear, and I caught up with her after one of Priest's set early in the week at South By. Check it. I'm here with Katie Alice Greer of the band Priests. Hello.
Hello.
We're in the alcove. We've kind of like made our way into the alcove of this building where my joke is that I'm staying here. I'm not staying here. It's on Red River and 9th or so across from Cherub Charlie's where you just played.
It's a really nice turquoise hallway. Yeah, I feel like we lucked out with this for an interview spot.
I appreciate you saying what color it is because I am incredibly colorblind.
Really? So I guess it's hard for me to ask then what this color looks like to you because you wouldn't have a different reference point.
It looks like a blue-green, which perhaps is what a turquoise is.
Yeah.
It's more like a color confusion thing where you see that and you go, oh, turquoise, and I see that and I'm like,
But you know, color, just like everything else, is subjective, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I like to think so.
It's just a different perspective.
Oh, well, you guys just put down an incredible set at my favorite venue in Austin, Cherub Charlie's,
great.
The outdoor stage. And, I feel like you really get it at South by Southwest. Like, you can see a band up there playing, and some of them you can tell, like, they're just like, all right, we're just kind of doing this because we have to do this. But I really felt like you embrace it.
Oh, so, thank you. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we definitely, this is our kind of our second South by Southwest, and we're playing 10 shows this year, which I didn't quite realize until I put together our schedule like for an Instagram post, and then I was like, holy shit. But we know that it's like absurd, you know, it's so stupid. And so I think we just like to try to have fun with it. We were invited to do a showcase this year. We also run a record label called Sister Polygon Records.
Shouts out Sister Polygon.
Yes. So we're doing a showcase Friday, and we have, you know, some other artists with us who are our friends also.
I met one of them earlier.
Yes. Too Free is one of our new bands. They're incredible. And Carson and Awad in that band have been with us and just kind of like dancing and cheering us on, which makes the absurdity more bearable, you know? It's just, we're here with our friends, we're playing music, you know? Yeah.
I guess that's something I wanted to ask you about is like the artist-run label. I mean, because you're committed to it. Like when the first album came out, Nothing Feels Natural, it was like Sister Polygon, and like that was part of the story. Like, this is Priest label,
yeah.
And you're committed. You know, you didn't jump to another label for this next release, which is going to be a bigger release for you in a lot of ways.
Right. We started the label at the same time as the band, mostly just out of necessity. Like, we didn't know anybody who ran a record label really when we started the band, and we wanted to put out music, so we just figured we should do it. I don't recommend anybody start a band and a record label at the same time. It is the most idiotic thing any of us have ever done, but like, yeah, we also love it. And we hope to continue to grow it. We recently started working with Secretly Distribution, who have been incredibly encouraging and helpful.
Very, very smart indie music people.
They're wonderful, and like, we really kind of had to hit the ground running with figuring out their organization system and just sort of like planning ahead a little bit more with like getting stuff to their warehouse and like making sure, you know, the marketing team knows this and that. I mean, in the past, we've always, I think, just sort of thought we will always just do this. We will always release Priest music independently, like with our own label. We're now at a place where there's such a huge workload that like for the first time, I'm like,
you need distribution help. Like,
we definitely need that. And like, I could see, I mean, we've talked to people before, like other labels a little bit, but like there hasn't ever really been an offer that made sense. I guess what I'm saying now is like, I am open to the idea, you know, of like a different label. Because it's been a lot, but we're so excited for people to hear the new record.
Yeah, and speaking of which, The Seduction of Kansas, which is also the title track we played on the show a couple months ago, and I said it was the best track I'd heard so far this year, and I totally meant it.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic song.
Thank you. Yeah, we were, there was some debate amongst Team Priests about what we should release as the first track, and some of our people internally were like, that's going to be too confusing to people, like, you know, but we were kind of like, let's be a little confusing, you know, if that's how it is.
Well, it's also the title of your album. And
yes.
The concept, and I didn't really know about this. I guess somebody wrote a book about it, like some study that where Kansas has swung is kind of where the nation has swung. Am I right there?
It's a book from the early 2000s called What's the Matter with Kansas by Tom Frank. He's a brilliant writer who has influenced a lot of my lyrics in Priests. But yeah, he's from Kansas, and he talks about the history of the state and political ideologies that have been born out of there. I mean, in the lyrics of the song, I reference the Summer of Mercy, which was for anti-abortion people, like a radicalizing conference where they all met in a stadium and like, you know, fed off of each other's like anti-women's reproductive rights energy or whatever. Yeah, it's really creepy. But there's also been periods of time in Kansas where like socialism was really taking hold. You're getting a lot of noises there.
Yeah.
There's also been periods in Kansas where like socialism was really taking hold amongst the populace. That was more like end of the 1800s. But no, it's a really interesting place. And the lyrics for me were just kind of trying to paint a cinematic picture of the Kansas that I read about in this book.
Totally.
Yeah, a lot of the record is about trying to explore not so much like the history of the USA itself, but exploring the ways that we tell the stories of the history of the USA. Like there's another song on the end of the record called Texas Instruments.
Oh, but you closed your set with that
yes.
just now. Yeah.
Yeah, we closed with that. And the lyrics are taken from, not entirely, but if you've ever seen the David Byrne film True Stories, it's him going to Texas and kind of being fascinated with this place.
He's a fucking genius. I mean, The Bicycle Diaries is like all about those travels that he takes.
Yeah, so. Right. It's a wonderful film. And at the beginning, he kind of has this little monologue about the history of the state of Texas. But yeah, it's not so much about trying to tell people like, this is the history of the USA. This is how it happened. Like, we're a band. We're not a textbook. It's about exploring the ways that we kind of tell those mythologies and stories.
Right on. The album's out April 5th.
Yes.
The Seduction of Kansas. You're coming to San Francisco on June 29th. Noise Pop is putting the show on at Starline Social Club in Oakland. Everybody go to the fucking show.
We're so excited for that. We played there on our Nothing Feels Natural tour, and it was like one of the best shows.
You played two shows in the Bay.
You're right. We played in San Francisco and Oakland last time, and I think this time we're maybe just playing Oakland.
For now,
right. It'd be great to come back and do San Fran as well. But no, we love it over there.
Well, I want to leave people with a song. Since you just played at Cheer Up Charlie's, let's talk about Good Time Charlie, the latest single, probably the last single before the album's release.
We're going to do one more, like a week before. But yeah, no, Good Time Charlie just came out. And that is, again, less about the actual history of what went down with Charlie Wilson in Afghanistan. He was a congressman from Texas, but Gideon and I watched the movie Charlie Wilson's War, and we're just kind of like fascinated by it. It's a Tom Hanks movie. There's a weird thing on his Wikipedia page about how like the movie was supposed to talk a little bit more about how Charlie Wilson's War maybe fomented what ended up being 9/11. And I guess like Tom Hanks asked that that part just be cut out of the movie because it made him uncomfortable, which was just like really, you know.
I'm stoked on how woke you are considering you're from DC. I'm like, you're all about it.
I don't even know if like we're that woke. I think we're just like, we try to always make the band like interesting to us and just write songs about what's interesting to us and like make music that feels interesting to us. So if anybody else likes it, that's always
for sure.
Cool.
And your band was incredible, everybody up there. Gideon is GL, right?
Yes.
And your guitar player.
Yes.
Danielle drums.
Plays drums, and then our new bassist is Alex Tyson.
They were all fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You were especially, Katie Ausker. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Adrian. Thanks, Noise Pop.
And here's Good Time Charlie.
Like a great
That was Good Time Charlie by Priests. Catch them on tour in the US and Europe, including June 29th at Starline Social Club in Oakland. I hadn't heard any music from Louisiana's Duran Jones and the Indications when I got to Austin this year. When my friend Jody told me they were high on her watch list at South By, and to my pleasant surprise, they were scheduled for a Paste Live at South By Southwest studio session on the day I was working out of Paste's Riverview Drive House out there, and holy shit, this is an amazing soul group led by singers Duran Jones and Aaron Frazier, along with a horn section, strings, drums, and keys. They played a gorgeous set in the most serene setting at the Paste House, which we'll link to on our blog at noisepop.com/podcast. You're about to hear the song Long Way Home from their latest album called American Love Call, which came out earlier in 2019 on Dead Oceans. In that Pace session, Duran talked about his reverence for Curtis Mayfield specifically, and vocally, he really reminds me of a young Charles Bradley, but the whole unit is really something else. Here they are, Duran Jones and the Indications with Long Way Home. That was Long Way Home by Duran Jones and the Indications. Catch them on tour right now, including back-to-back Bay Area nights at the New Parish in Oakland and the Independent in San Francisco on March 29th and 30th. If you listen to the show regularly, you've likely been exposed to a lot of artists on the Ann Arbor-born, Brooklyn-based Ghostly International label. Shigeto is one of the label's alpha acts, who put out his first LP with them, Full Circle, back in 2010, and he's been nothing short of prolific since. He's a drummer by trade and carved a space out for himself as one of the first people to do a full-on live drumming and electronic production set, and his live performances are seriously a thrill. We've played his music on the show before, and while he's fairly well-established and doesn't necessarily fit the emerging South by Southwest artist mold per se, he was there for a couple appearances regardless, including Ghostly's 20th anniversary party at the Waller Creek Boathouse. He lives in Detroit now, and his latest material is really tapped into the sound and soul of the city, I actually met with him in Detroit back in 2017 for a Paste magazine story about the city's rebuilding process and how its artists fit into it all. And we'll link to that story on our blog at noisepop.com/podcast. So with that, catching up with Shigeto for a moment at the South by Southwest House of Vans was really special, and I'm stoked to have him on the show. Here's that conversation.
Well, this is a fucking treat and a surprise. I got Zach from Shigeto here. What's good, my man?
Yo, everything's good. I can't complain. It's good to see you.
I get happy when I see you, man, because we spent some time together in Detroit. You were kind enough to show me around the city, man, and that was that meant a lot. And it was good to get to know you, and it's good to see you here in Austin.
Oh, man, it was my pleasure. It's good to see you. Yeah, that was a good time, man. Good interview, definitely. One of the memorable ones.
Cheers. Well, much love to that. I saw you play the Ghostly Party yesterday at Waller Creek Boathouse, and I feel like I hadn't seen an old school Shigeto set with from the drums to the laptop setup, and it was just you up there sweating bullets, man, doing your thing.
Yeah, man, it was. I had to get back into the zone, I think, because I'd just been doing it with the trio for the last, you know, three tours. So it was definitely the same kind of experience for me. Oh, I'm back up here by myself. But it was fun, definitely.
Yeah. And the trio tour was killer. Caught it at the Independent in San Francisco. And I appreciate you always pushing the envelope, man. You know, not just doing that. You're trying new shit. You're doing this trio thing.
Man, thank you, man. Yeah. I appreciate you trying to reconnect all the time. Yeah.
And this is your first time at South by Southwest since 2012. Is that right?
Yeah. It's been a long time. It's actually kind of a crazy landmark too, because it's my birthday. Our birthdays are similar. And mine always falls on South by. And I actually celebrated my 18th birthday at my first South by Southwest. Wow. And this year was my 36th. And that was 18 years ago.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. And so I was just like, holy shit. 18 years ago was the first South by for me.
I celebrated my 30th birthday at my first South by. Now we both just turned 36. So happy birthday to us, man.
Yeah. Happy birthday to us.
Well, let's keep it short, man. I want to talk about a song. You mentioned the one that you want to play. It's off of the Weighted EP. It just came out. Yeah. Tell us about the song, the lineup, right?
Yeah, this is a track I did with Ian Fink, who is the keyboardist in the ensemble, in the trio. And it's just, you know, one of the tracks off my last EP, Weighted, kind of a bit more housey jazz vibes, features Ian soloing on Rhodes over it. And it was kind of the closing statement of introducing the band, where Detroit Part 2 and a couple of the tracks on the New Monday kind of shined a light on Marcus Elliott, who plays tenor in the group. I wanted this to kind of shine more of a light on Ian. And so now with the next EP that I just finished, that'll be the first kind of ensemble recording project. Yeah.
Awesome. And I think that's cool that you mentioned that it's housier, because that's kind of what you started gravitating more towards when you moved back to Detroit. Is you went from being kind of this like traditional kind of jazz electronic fusion, and now you're really incorporating more house and Detroit rhythms and electronic music.
It's inevitable. It's just surrounding you, and it's pretty much impossible to not be sucked in.
Well, shout out Shigeto, shout out Ghostly, shout out Detroit. It's a pleasure, man. We're going to go out with the song, The Lineup, off of the Weighted EP. And we're at House of Vans, so shout out to them, too.
Yeah, shout out to Vans.
great seeing you, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Great to see you, too. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll be right back. That was Shigeto with The Lineup featuring Ian Fink. Loving you is throwing me. My other favorite discovery at this year's South by Southwest is Australian singer and guitar player Angie McMahon. My buddy Joe randomly took me to this really cool venue at St. David's Episcopal Church in downtown Austin to see her play, and her deep, powerful voice filled the room of this church. I was so enamored that I went to see her the next night at the Continental Club on South Congress, the same club where Austin local Gary Clark Jr. had a monthly residency before he made it big, and Angie is a no-doubter. In fact, she took home the South by Southwest Grolke Prize for developing international act at this year's festival, and I was honored to be a part of the jury this year, and she just signed to the Nashville-based Dual Tone Records label. There's really limited music from her out right now, but there's surely an album in the works. For now, dive into this song. It's called Keeping Time from Angie McMahon. That was Keeping Time by Angie McMahon. Our last conversation is with Carly Bonds of the Oakland band Myrna. She's a marvelous singer and sonic maven, if you will. Carly was at her first South by Southwest playing with Myrna and also playing with John Vanderslice's band and a couple others, I guess. She was really hustling out there. Her latest EP, called Strange Life, was featured on our episode of Favorite Bay Area Releases of 2018, and it's a dreamy, wonderful expression of her artistry. She has a new release due out June 14th called Heart Hunger, and I caught up with her on an overcast Austin afternoon for a little Bay Area chitter chatter. Here it is. I'm here with Carly Bond of Myrna. Hello, hello.
Hi.
And I also have a special guest here, number one top San Francisco, Bay Area, Oakland music fan, Kelly Taylor. What up?
Hey, guys.
This is cool. So I brought Kelly here for a reason because, you know, we talk about the hustle of artists out here, but the hustle of the journalists too is real. And I was finishing a story up and I trying to get to Myrna's set at Sidebar at 2 p.m. and I got there at like 2:45 and it was already done. Kelly's my proxy. She was there, but I wanted to talk to Carly because we've played a lot of Myrna's music on the show before, including on our Best of the Bay. What's up?
Oh, heck. No, just trying to hustle as hard as we can and play as much music as we can in this adult rock band Disneyland.
Fuck yeah.
And it's been super fun and super crazy. And yeah, we just had a really short set, which was like actually really fun.
Right on. That is the right approach at South by Southwest is just, is this your first time here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Smash and grab, as we say.
Okay, cool. All right. Right on. So you've been touring with John Vanderslice, right? How's that been going?
Not yet.
Oh, that's
yeah,
about to
we
start.
Just,
I'm sorry. Okay.
This is kind of our first go at playing
with
him.
I did see you playing with him on stage here. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, this must be like the
start
of the tour.
Yeah, we've had like two rehearsals and like had to learn a full set. So we're all like, oh my God. And we're also playing or backing two other bands. But we're going on tour with him in support of his record called The Cedars that Rob, who's in my band and also who I'm wedded.
Your special man friend, your special life man friend.
My life best boy.
Hell yeah. Love is cool. We were talking about this earlier. Love is cool. Shout out to my best girl, Tegan. My number one gal. All right, this is getting silly. But
married feels good.
Yeah, I'll get there soon. I'll be like you
the
soon.
It's like the sickest party of your whole life. That makes you cry a lot.
Yeah.
In the best way.
Yeah, I do. I do tend to get kind of emotional. I was crying at US Girls last year.
Oh,
so
shoot. Here, so. Dang.
I know Kelly knows a little bit about that. We saw US Girls at the Fillmore together.
Best band of last year, right?
Yeah, best live band in 2018. But I want to talk about Myrna, and I want to talk about your project.
Cool.
Tell me about you. You have an album coming out later this year. I mean, are you allowed to like talk about the album?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Oh, of course. Yeah. We've got a record coming out on June 14th. It's called Heart Hunger, which is a title that I got from my great-great-grandmother's poem. She was a poet. And
awesome.
Yeah. It's coming out on Native Cat Records, who we're with. Got a single coming out in May while we're on tour with John Vanderslice, going for like a 17-day run in April, starting on the 12th. Big ol' West Coast loop.
Cool.
And awesome. Really stoked. This is gonna be our first LP.
Hell yeah. Well, I love seeing my fellow Bay Area people at South by Southwest, and I think we've done this episode, and this is the third year, maybe the fourth, I don't remember right now, but we always have Bay Area representation, and you are it.
Oh, shucks, man, I'm so honored. Gosh.
Yeah. Well, you're hustling, and shouts to you, and Native Cat and everybody, and we're looking forward to the record. I want to talk about a song, and this is funny, because we played Wildest Eyes, like, right when it came out, because,
Sick.
That is a beautiful song. You're a wonderful singer. And then we played Good Luck, and when you were one of our favorite Bay Area albums of the year, and then we're gonna play Strange Life, which is the title track to your last EP.
Yeah.
And tell us about Strange Life a little bit, and then we'll play it for the listeners, and we'll take it from there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's been a minute, but that song came out of like a 20-minute jam where my drummer and I were in separate rooms and we were just like jamming for probably like, I don't know, 20 to like 60 minutes. And yeah, in that period, we just kind of zoned out and went into this weird trance. And then I went about this writing of the song in a different way than I've gone before and just edited the shit out of it in Pro Tools.
Because you're an engineer as well.
Yeah, I dabble.
There you go.
Yeah, a dabble, but Rob's definitely the cool. Main
and the family.
Main man in that in that department. But yeah, we both kind of like stuck our little hands in there and jumbled it around, and it's just kind of like meditating on the weirdness of just being alive, because it's really weird.
Yeah, being alive is kind of weird, especially at South by Southwest.
Basic.
And you said jamming out. I know, yeah. Kelly told me that. The last two songs that you played, you were totally jamming out.
Yeah, it's cool. So this was my first time seeing Myrna, despite being from the Bay. And, you know, in my head, the way I know Myrna, it's very clean and precise. And it was really cool to hear the last song in particular when you got to shred, because I didn't really know that side of you necessarily. And I'm very excited to hear that, you know, recorded. Yeah. But it was really, really tight.
New song that's, I'm holding a Native Cat sampler tape right now. Tape only,
Top
I think.
Secret.
Top secret. And the song is on here. And this is the only place you can get it right now. And it's coming out, this other song, not the one we're about to play, but this other song is coming out in May, correct?
Yeah, or no. It's going to come out in April.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We'll be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout for that.
Couple and, singles.
Yeah.
A whole record.
Yeah.
Does it have a name?
The single? Yeah, it's called Thinking of You. Yeah. But the one that you heard is called Black Diamond Mine.
Sick.
So much going on here. Yeah, we're going to go out with Strange Life. And then this is fine. I feel like I never get to say these things on tape. But I just had a whiskey on the rocks, and I feel, you know, a little loose-lipped. Yeah. I was having conversation with another Bay Area musician who I won't name, but we were like out at a show, a local show, and it was really random that they were like, all right, who's the best local artist right now? And I was like, I can't really like answer that. That's a really, you know, I felt like I was put on the spot. And he was like, it's Myrna, right? It's gotta be Myrna, right? And I was like, well, I love that you're saying that though. And it's, you know, and this is, just, you know, other people besides me think very highly of you. And
oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Dang, yeah. I definitely don't feel like that, but that's really cool. Yeah.
I guess the point is there's something special about you, and we're looking forward to the EP, and we're gonna listen to Strange Life right now, and it's a pleasure.
Hope it doesn't let you down.
High expectations. Here's Strange Life by Myrna. Shouts out, y'all. Thank you. That was Strange Life by Myrna. Catch him on tour with John Vanderslice, including Sunday, April 28th in San Francisco at Rickshaw Stop. This was my sixth year at South by Southwest, and for the past couple of them, when I get to Austin, I feel like I might stop enjoying the experience. Like, maybe the corporate element of everything might finally bite into the music enough to make it suck. But you know, it never happens. I fucking love South by Southwest. I love seeing artists excited to play their music that week and get their year started, so to speak. I love discovering artists like Angie McMahon and Duran Jones and The Indications for the first time. I love how Carly called the experience like an adult rock band Disneyland, because damn it if it isn't just like that. I love when Katie said that they try to make music that's interesting to them, because you know, at the end of the day, the best artists aren't catering their music to anybody. It's an expression of who they are, and you can feel that when you hear them in your headphones, and especially when you see them on stage. And I loved how Zach talked about the evolution of Shigeto and how it was inevitable because the sound of Detroit is surrounding him, and really we're all evolving with music, and the sounds of different scenes and locales are on full display every year on the many stages of South by Southwest, and I can't wait to do it all again next year. The Noise Pop Podcast is produced by me and Kelly Coyne. Kelly's on vacation, and it's been a real pleasure to have Colin El Producto Peden back to mix and engineer this episode. We missed him. Our executive producer is Kevin Arnold, and many thanks to Adrian Lee, Lamont Harper, and Jackie Moore at Noise Pop for marketing support. I love putting out two episodes this month, and if you like what you heard, please leave us a rating or a review in iTunes. We appreciate it big time. You'll hear from us again in April, and until then, I'm your host, Adrian Spinelli. Cheers.